It is a privilege to be with you this morning and to share God's word. And as most of you who know me at all know, I just tend to share what God's done with me recently when I get these opportunities. And when I was sitting yesterday reflecting on my recent journey, God really allowed two thoughts to enter my consciousness. One was a comment that seems to have no relevance, but I'm going to say it anyway because I couldn't think how else to start what I was going to say today. And it was something that happened to me 2 weeks ago when somebody bumped into me and for the first time ever in my life said that I looked older than I was. Well, this could go two ways for you. We can preach for 45 minutes or we can do the 20 that we've been given. So sympathy's good. They said to me, "You look older than my age." I won't tell you what it was, but my world was rocked. I mean, nobody has ever told me that I looked older than I actually am before. Thank you, sweetheart. You get a bit of an offie for a pound. completely irrelevant, other than to say that. After the event, the one thought that did cross my mind was that time is rushing on. Actually, time is rushing on. And, okay, the person thought I looked 55. And now, you know, I just was speechless. You know, really. I think Richard looks 55. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. But it told me something, and it told me that time is rushing on. And actually, the time that we have to do whatever it is that God has told us to do is moving on. And we need to do something with our lives. We need to take seriously the call of God that we've all got and not just allow it to lie dormant, but to take a hold of the thing that God's got for you and for me and to do something with. Thankfully, I got over that. I was able to make it through that little wobble for a day or two. And then the other thing that God showed me yesterday, I felt in terms of thinking of this morning, was just something about seasons in our life. Season, things that we go through in our life, periods that we go through in our life, that actually do seem to be marked a bit like the seasons that we see in nature. You know, we can have our dry spells, which actually, in a funny sort of way, didn't tend to be our summer. You know, they tend to be our winter. But, you know, we go through these times. And the reason that came to me was I've been through, for me anyway, what I think has been a winter. And it feels like it's been a winter for a long time. It feels like a Narnian winter, if that makes any sense to any of you. And just bizarre for me how long that seems to have gone on, you know. And it's been a spiritual thing. It's not just been the fact that the weather's been bad in Scotland. You know, it's been a spiritual thing for me. And as I was thinking about this yesterday, I was thinking about the fact that I don't feel like I'm in winter anymore. But I don't feel like I'm in spring, and I don't feel like I'm in summer. And I don't feel like I'm in autumn. So it tells me that God's seasons for us spiritually aren't just the same as the seasons that we have naturally, okay? There's this other season at least, because I know I'm in it, okay? So there's at least one other season, and you may have identified ones for yourself that don't line up with the seasons that seem to be natural seasons. And for me, this season is called discontent. And I remember growing up, there was a winter of discontent. I was about 8 years old, was it? James Callaghan's government or something. So I feel I can legitimately put discontent in as a season because it seemed to happen a season in the UK 20 years ago or what? Oh, it'd be longer than that. Maybe I'm 55. So I find myself in this season called discontent, but I feel it's a season that God has allowed. He's allowed me to come out of a winter. But it tells me that God's seasons don't follow chronologically like we expect them to follow in nature. So I didn't arrive in spring, which was a bit disappointing, actually, because spring's usually quite hopeful, you know. And I found myself in this season. But as I was reflecting on this yesterday, what I was reflecting on was the fact that this season that I'm in now is a good season. It's a God season. It's a season that God has allowed me to be in. And I'm hoping as I share what I'm sharing now, if any of you find yourself in a season or in any other season at all, that you take something from what I'm sharing today and apply this to your season as well, because I think the thing that God is saying to me and I think to us is that He doesn't change in the seasons. He does not change in the seasons. We change in the seasons, okay? We allow ourselves to be pushed back and forward or to be tossed around or whatever it happens to be, but God does not change in the seasons, and He stays the same. And the other season about discontent is you forget to print off notes. So thankfully, I forgot to print notes this morning. So thankfully, I'd already emailed them to myself. So I'm sorry I'm not using a bit of paper, and I hope you're not offended by me opening my BlackBerry. But just to make sure I don't miss anything that I think is important, I'm going to keep that handy just now. But I felt as I was thinking about the season that I'm in, and I'm thinking about seasons generally, and this aspect of God not changing but us changing, that we have to learn in seasons to be more stable. I don't know how else to put it. We just have to learn to be more stable, to retain our faithfulness, to retain our sense of our understanding of who God is, and to just allow God to work in the time that we find ourselves in, and just allow that to happen. And I wrote down three things that I felt I failed on, if you like. And is there a title up here, Laurie? Maybe just put the title slide up. I've put Live with Purpose, Alan. And you're going to change that to your name during the course of this. But I've said that because I felt that didn't happen for me in this winter season. I didn't live with purpose. I waited for the season to end, hoping spring was coming. And now I find it's not spring. It's discontentment. Okay? And so don't wait. Okay? Still live with purpose in the season that you find yourself in. And there was three things in particular about the life of Jesus that I was looking at yesterday. I thought, that's something I missed. I missed something that Jesus did that was really, really important for me, and it was stuff that I knew and stuff that I should have carried on with during my winter. And you know when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, come, follow me. It's such a simple, simple statement, isn't it? But that's a simple statement in the summer. It's a simple statement when everything's good and life's great and all the rest of it. And we can find ourselves not following. I believe that following is an active word. It's a word that requires something from us. It's not a passive word, it's an active word. And so when Jesus says, come follow us, it's not just a passive word. It requires something from us in every season of our lives. And so Jesus had this pattern. He had this way about his life that he wanted us to follow when he was saying, come follow me. There was things that he did. There was the way that he lived, that he was saying, this is how to do it. This is how to follow me. It doesn't matter what the period of your life is or the age or anything else. This is what you should do. Now, of course, we could have a whole weekend talking about this, but I'm just picking out three things that particularly spoke to me in this regard. And Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, I've heard people say to me that Jesus didn't need to have faith. He was God, okay, so he didn't need to have faith. I disagree with that. I actually think Jesus needed to have faith, and he modeled it to his disciples, he modeled it to us. And so I think when I'm thinking about following Jesus, I have to follow through on that idea of having faith. And when we look at the faith that Jesus had, very often we look at the miracles, we look at the big stuff, we look at the incredible things that seem to happen around Jesus' life, that very often we think we just couldn't aspire to. You know, they're beyond us or whatever. And yet, when I was thinking about this yesterday, the biggest thing that Jesus seemed to do before any of that was pray, wasn't it? I mean, it was just to pray, to be before the Father, to wait for him. So every circumstance, every situation, he was prepared. He was prepared for it. And you know, sometimes you think, well, big deal, it was prayer. You know, it was a big deal. If it was a big deal for Jesus, ought it to be a big deal for me and for you? That actually we have this pattern in our life where prayer is important. And prayer just isn't the thing that we do when we're needing help, which is one of the things I've noticed in the winter season, actually, is that very often all you do is pray for help and not a lot else, you know. But you pray and you pray and you pray. Always reminded in Acts 12 about the story of Peter in prison and how the church there was struggling with the idea that Peter was in prison and Herod was having a real go at the Christians. And they didn't seem to have any faith for me. They were in their house, closing the door, not wanting to see anybody. And yet, what happens? Peter's at the door. Now, if I was to look at their faith, I would say they didn't have any. I would say, they said, no, he's not at the door. The girl was at Rhoda, went to the door. No, he's not there. You're having a vision or a dream or something. Peter was at the door. What happened? They prayed, right? I suggest that prayer was faith. God took that and said, that's faith. That's faith. So when Jesus modeled something about faith to me, don't just look at the big stuff. Don't just look at the stuff, the raising of the dead and all the rest of it. Good as that is, and I think that's something we're aspiring to as a Pentecostal church. But think about the prayer. Think about the simple thing of getting on your knees before the Lord, waiting for him and seeking his face. And I have to say, doing it with others as well. I know Jesus did it a lot himself, but he was setting us a model for us to do together, his church. So he modeled faith for us, and he modeled it in an easy way for us to understand, especially when we come to prayer. The other thing that I always think about with Jesus was he lived by love. And we all know John 13:34 when he says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you." I'm going to come back to this a bit later on, but I just want to say that when we think about the life of Jesus, and when we put the prism of love through everything that he did, things look different. We see God in a different light. And Jesus wasn't just showing off. Jesus was revealing the heart of God to people. He was revealing the heart of God for you and for me. And my greatest experience, when I look back in my life, my greatest ever experience was understanding the love of God, knowing that God loved me, knowing that God's grace was expressed through love. It was expressed through love, and he wanted us to know it and to understand it and to feel it, and not just know about it up here, but to actually feel it in the depths of our hearts. And so the life of Jesus modeled something for us. He modeled something called love. And I want to come back to that in a minute. I'm not going to spend a lot of time just now because it's an important issue that I want to just return to in a minute or two. So Jesus' model of love is something that we should still aspire to in our seasons, in our difficult seasons, in our good seasons. Not take it for granted. Work with love. Allow the love of God to fill your heart and fill your life and to be overflowing regardless of the season that you find yourself in. And then the third thing that I noticed yesterday was Jesus is living to serve. And of course, we see this modeled clearly, but in Matthew 20:28, we know Jesus said, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You know, serving is a funny word, isn't it? It's a funny word because we can think we're doing it. We can think we're doing it, but there's more to the word serving than doing it, isn't there? There's so much more. It's all about what's turning up on the inside as you're doing it. It's all about what's going on in the heart, okay? You can serve and not serve, if you know what I mean, okay? You can do the act of service and not serve. And I don't want this to sound like I'm getting down on myself for the last while, but I sometimes wonder if that's what I've done. I've done the act of service, but not served, if that makes sense to you. I've done the thing that looks like serving, but it's not been service. And God is requiring us to be servants. He modeled it, he showed us it, and he requires it of us to be his servants. Now, Jesus said, "Follow me." And we know Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, that we were to follow his example as he followed Christ's example. And there would be no following Paul if he wasn't following Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? Paul wasn't building himself up here. He wasn't saying, "Follow me," really, you know. If you took Christ out of it, he wasn't saying, "Follow me" at all. He was saying, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And that gives me a dilemma, because in my season, it was very easy to be a lone ranger. It was very easy to be me and do my thing and serve myself and please myself and all of that. But Paul now starts hinting at something that's quite important. Okay, he's hinting at the thing that's more than me. He's thinking at the us, isn't he? The thing that includes you and I together. He's talking about church, actually. He's talking about how we communicate in church and how we love in church and how we serve in church and how we show faith in church. And I think that takes on a whole new challenge, actually. Because if you think you're having a bad season, sometimes you don't want to be around church, do you? You know? Lovely as we all are, you know? Somebody laughed there. Lovely as we all are, sometimes it's just not that easy in church. And yet Paul is saying to us that we take this logical progression beyond me and beyond Jesus talking just to us directly. There's a wider issue here. There's the issue of us and those that God has planted us with, placed us with, and put us into a body with. And so here's our challenge, Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. Such a well-known scripture, but I had revelation on this yesterday. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Now, I've always looked at that and thought, it was telling me to aspire to be like Jesus, which it is. It's telling me that, to aspire to be like Jesus. But let's read it again, and let me just point at a different angle that I'd never seen before. Maybe you have, see, because I'm tired on a Sunday, so maybe I just... But yesterday was a good day because it was Saturday. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the spirit, of any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. I think Paul is saying to us, there's a level we all need to be at. There's a level we all need to be at. This one-mindedness is having the mind of Christ. It's being at his level. It's not us coming together and saying, Elaine's loving well today, Alan's not loving so well today, and so we have these different levels going on. I think we're being encouraged to aspire together to have a Christ-like level of faith, of love, and of serving. And that's not to say it's meant to be onerous. I just don't think we've been asking each other, follow me as I follow Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think I've said to anybody recently, come on, I'll show you what God's shown me. I'm getting a chance to do it now, so I'm taking advantage. But when last did I sit down with somebody and said, come on, God's shown me this. Let's do something about this together. Let's raise the level to Christ's likeness here. I think that's what this is saying to me now. I think this is saying for me and for you as a church, we've got a level to aspire to. And it's not having one mind as in an abstract thing, together being raised up to a new level in Jesus. Being like-minded in love. So the person walking in the door that doesn't know Jesus feels the love of Jesus there, the love of Jesus here, the love of Jesus down in the hub, spending £2 on their cake and coffee. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to anybody else? Maybe you all got that before yesterday. For me. So that was telling me about church, actually. That was telling me about a season in church can be a winter season. We have to have a season that is ready. A season that is saying, if I'm struggling, well, you're not, and you're going to get me up there. And if I'm not struggling, I'm going to get you up there. I'm going to be encouraging you in your faith and in your walk. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I get the feeling it's not revolutionary. You know, I get the feeling somebody somewhere will have preached this. But I've forgotten it. In my winter, I've forgotten the importance of us doing this together as church and walking together as church and raising each other up as church. So what's our goal? What's our goal? Is it to live as a follower of Jesus? I'm doing a funny thing here. I'm making that singular thing about an individual, making me a follower of Jesus, sound like I'm talking to all of us collectively as a church, but I am. Am I, this church, because we're all in this together in one mind, living like followers of Jesus? That's our goal, isn't it? That's our goal. And I'm just wondering whether I'm the only one that needed that challenge today. I'm just wondering. I'm not saying you did. I told Eileen I was preaching at her today, so you're all off the hook. I'm just wondering whether that's something that we need to ask ourselves again. So when you look at that cup, saying live with purpose, and it's got my name on it, is it something that God's saying to you today? Live with purpose. Jesus is your goal. Or put the church's name on it. Jesus is our goal. Are we really saying that? If we go back to the start of all this, the actual context of what Jesus was saying was he was making us fishers of men. So actually, it doesn't even stop there, does it? Because we're going to be going out now and doing the same, aren't we? Yeah, hands down if you agree. Yeah, okay. That's good. I'll tell Gordon. Yeah. We're going to go out, aren't we? We're going to go out and show the same love and the same faith to those that are out in the street needing Jesus. So that's all I really want to say today. I'm sorry it wasn't very complicated. But I just wonder if you want to bow your heads for a moment and just ask the Lord if he's got anything to say to you about any of those individual things, or maybe just about the very fact of us challenging ourselves aiming for the goal, going up together, making Jesus our goal. And I really don't mind praying with you if you want that, but I actually think the Holy Spirit is active. And you can pray together with God and say, God, help me in this. And Lord, you know every one of us. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the things that we've brought in today. You know our thoughts as we started. And Lord, you know exactly what we're thinking now. Lord, some of us will be thinking about the season we find ourselves in. And some of us will be thinking about things that we've maybe not done so good, or where we've not followed you as well as we should have. And for some, it's been good. It's been a good season, and they're close to you, and we just praise you for that, Lord. And for the people that are doing good, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would give them a heart to reach to us and say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Lord, we want to move with Jesus. We want to be on a level that brings a smile to your face and says, I love these people because you know, we know you love us anyway, Lord, but you see our heart responding to your heart, Lord. And I just pray you'd help us individually, Lord. I know you don't condemn us, Lord, and I pray there would be nothing that I've said this morning that would in any way come over as condemnation to any individual. Lord, because you are reaching down. Your heart is, you reach to us, Lord. And you're reaching down, you're reaching across from Jesus to us. And inviting us to come, follow. And so we raise our hands to you today, Lord. We raise our hands. If that's our heart, we raise our hands and say, I want to follow. I want to follow, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Justin.